could you start by telling us a little bit about the report that has recently been released by the Canadian Council of Academies?
Definitely. Like the report was commissioned by the then Minister of Environment back in 2012. So it was commissioned by the federal government, and to kind of figure out what is the state of knowledge regarding the environmental impacts of shale gas or fracking. And it's pretty damning in terms of the lack of information on what is going on in the industry. It sort of says in its conclusions that the state of our knowledge about impacts on the environment is neither sufficient nor conclusive. So that is very worrying.
Yeah, there
like
was
that.
Concerns. There was four major concerns that they kind of looked over. And it included the degradation of ground and surface water, which included proper wastewater disposal, which is the initial issue that brought me to this topic. The greenhouse gas emissions, whether this is actually the bridge fuel that's going to, help us with climate change and all that stuff. They also looked at the disruptive effects on communities and land and the potential adverse effects on human health. And on pretty much all those fronts, they said, we really don't know. There's not enough monitoring. There's not enough scientific information. They say right there in their executive summary that the mitigation technology, so if things were to go bad, like say an aquifer was contaminated, and they do have a whole section on groundwater issues and the potential for the migration of chemicals and gas into a potential aquifer, they say that mitigation technologies are untested and may not be sufficient.
Right.
Once we poison an aquifer, we've poisoned an entire community or communities. An aquifer that's out here on the East Coast, it goes under parts of Cape Breton, parts of PEI, and parts of New Brunswick. So what they might be doing in New Brunswick could potentially affect communities in PEI, which is, crazy to think about that they're going to put that at risk over some transient jobs and maybe minimal economic benefit.
Yeah, and definitely I guess our experience here in Nova Scotia has not been that regulators are in a good position to even try to understand what the industry is doing, never mind mitigate the impacts. And the issue of the wastewater coming up from these wells was also highlighted in the report, and that's something we've been dealing with here in Nova Scotia since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And there still is no solution. And a lot of the information that came to light about the dangers associated with the wastewater, which was found to contain radioactive material, came to light because of citizens, not really because of the ability of industry and government working hand in hand to mitigate risks. So I think definitely this study should be read as a cautionary way. I mean, they actually say the benefits must be weighed against the impacts on people and ecosystems. And yeah, I don't think people should read just because we don't know that there are no impacts or that we should just proceed. I guess then one interesting thing, the report kind of has a diagram with different pillars, and it is true, that are the pillars of good environmental management of industry, and the pillars are completely independent of one another, and I thought that was an interesting diagram. So industry's pillars are separate from government and community, and we all know in the real world those pillars connect. And
right.
What we see in New Brunswick very clearly in the public dialogue is that shale gas is being seen by government as a way to pay, to basically supply the government with royalties and kind of get out of a fiscal pit that they're in. So those pillars do not operate independently.
Yeah.
When it comes to shale gas or a lot of fossil fuel development. And so I don't think people's lived experience is sort of born, bears up the idea that mitigation can happen long term and that governments really can act independent of the intense pressure from industry to proceed for their own best interests and because of established relationships.
There is a little blurb there in the executive summary about trust. and how there needs to be like clear, transparent, communities need to participate in the decision making, and there needs to be clear and transparent monitoring that like chemicals are disclosed, people know what's being monitored where and when and how, and we have seen none of that. When the operations happened here in 2007-2008 in the Noel Kennecook area, there were three wells that were microfracked, and this is the waste legacy wastewater issue that we're dealing with. Government didn't even know what this industry was or what it could mean, so they just let them go ahead and do it. And it's just unfortunate that our elected officials, who are elected to protect us, they are not. And especially in New Brunswick, as Gretchen mentioned, you're seeing the government and the shale gas industry together saying, we're going ahead with this regardless, and they're completely ignoring community issues. They're completely ignoring treaty rights of the local Mi'kmaq. As Gretchen mentioned as well, those pillars definitely need to be separated. But one thing we cannot be separate from is our environment, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat.
How do you think those pillars of government and industry, for example, could be separated?
I guess a truly arm's-length study, and I guess to some degree this study is very helpful because it was done arm's-length from government. This type of research is very helpful, so I would say this is a step. But then I guess a commitment from our leaders that they are actually going to act on science would also be a huge step, and that includes the science of climate change, which is telling us over and over and over again we have to shift away from this type of fossil fuel infrastructure as quickly as we can. So I guess that's two things. So sort of arm's length knowledge, that commitment, and then I think some commitment to reinvigorating our democracies, because it does seem that even though there is a huge opposition / concern, depending which point on the spectrum you are when it comes to shale gas fracking in our region anyway, there does seem to be sort of a disconnect between that and what is actually happening in some areas in terms of allowing exploration leases to go ahead, for instance, in New Brunswick, or even considering it on Prince Edward Island, which is kind of nuts when you think their water is so limited over there. They're an island.
It seems like there's a pretty common archetype of people who choose to go into politics, and a lot of them don't make decisions to the benefit of the communities they represent. And I think it would be important if they actually took a look at their local economies and supported many smaller scale things rather than large industry as like, this is going to be the single thing that's going to save us, when collectively a whole local economy approach could actually make more sense.
And I guess one thing neither one of us has really touched on in this in terms of solutions is, I think, listening to indigenous knowledge and sort of understanding different ways of governing is also pretty key, I think, going forward. Because a lot of the activity in New Brunswick and Elsabuktuk, for instance, is because of a different conceptual understanding of what leaders do and what you should do to protect your water and air and future generations, and a different decision-making structure behind that.
One last thing. Could you talk a bit about the Sierra Club's work in this area?
Yeah, I heard from one of my coworkers in the office that they were New Brunswick. There was a meeting in New Brunswick, and they were going to be taking the wastewater from what was happening in New Brunswick, and they were going to be taking it to DeBert. I'm from the community next door to DeBert. I'm from Belmont, Nova Scotia. And when I looked at it, where the location of the facility was, it was downstream from a piece of the river that runs through my parents' property. So eventually this water was going to end up in DeBert, be treated and dumped into the mouth of this river. And this is a river that's significant to the Acadian people, to the Mi'kmaq. It used to have salmon in this river. So, yeah, we've been involved in the issue, and with Sierra Club and with other groups that have supported the sort of stand we've been taking, is we were able to get a ban on the importation of wastewater from other provinces.
which was a huge step in turning off the faucet for potential fracking waste from Newfoundland and Labrador or from New Brunswick or PEI, which was great. We also had a petition calling for a ban on fracking entirely, which got thousands of signatures as well, and I think was really instrumental in getting the Nova Scotia government to put a pause on fracking while they study it. So, again, I think this report is going to be hopefully very helpful in protecting people, at least in Nova Scotia, from having fracking going on here.
Thank you very much. That was Gretchen Fitzgerald and Heidi Verhul from the Atlantic Canada chapter of the Sierra Club Canada.
Thank you.
Thank you.